Now, can I ask you, they were all very busy areas.
Very busy, yes.
There were lorries coming and going all the time.
All the time, yes, because the three paper machines were producing paper non-stop, 24-7 practically. And it was quite a short area where the paper accumulated, so you had to have your transport arranged in sufficient time and at the right points as well. As the paper came off the machines, you had to have the truck available to load those up and get them shipped out.
Now, the fleet of trucks, did they belong to the firm?
The company had about half a dozen trucks, which reduced subsequently to about three. Most of the haulage was done by hired contractors.
And who were they now? Yeah.
The local transport for the Great Dublin area in that would be Peter Menahan, Paddy Barry, of course, as well, and George Smith, RIP, and then we had a few other small transporters from the Dublin area. But, you see, we exported quite a lot as well. I think about 40% of what we produced was exported.
Right. There were many means of transport. Did you use boats on the lock at all, by any?
Oh, no, no.
Or did you use CIE?
We didn't use CIE very much, no, we didn't, because they were highly inefficient at the time, I'm afraid, so we did not, no.
Really?
No, yeah.
And so it was just...
It's all by road.
All on road?
All by road or by ship, yes.
Of what kind of trucks?
We had, for local deliveries, we had the short, rigid trucks.
Bedford?
Let me see now, I think they were Fords, actually. Yeah. They were Fords, and... there were probably, I think, 20-foot or 24-foot bodies on them. But then for bigger consignments, for example, Kildare wallpapers. Now, when they got a consignment of wallpaper, there would be a massive amount of these wallpaper rolls. So we would use 40-foot trailers for that sort of thing.
Yes.
Or 40-foot containers sometimes as well.
And the workforce there, how many men were you in charge of?
I think around about 40, maybe 45, yes.
And did you get on okay with them, or were they...
I did. Maybe they didn't all get it too well with me at times. But generally, there was a good atmosphere.
Yes.
There was a good atmosphere. Unfortunately, there were times, you see, when there might be union problems in the production area or whatever. But generally speaking, in the dispatch and transport, we had a pretty good crew. Pretty good, yeah.
And so your responsibility was overlooking what was coming in and what was going out, and
what was going out, not what was coming in.
Nothing about what was coming in.
No, what came in was another section altogether. That was for the pulp and chemicals, yes, and all that to make the paper.
So that wasn't anything to do with...
No, that was a separate department on its own. No,
okay.
It's only
the finished product,
the sheet of paper, pallets of paper, and rolls of paper.
Yeah,
yeah.
And so the busy parts, the peaking months of a year, would every month of the year be quite busy, or?
Every month would be quite busy, except of course the paper mill did close for 2 weeks in the summertime for a holiday period, and it normally closed for around about a week at Christmas time.
Yes.
But otherwise, it was a 24-7 operation. Now, there would be peaks and valleys. It would depend on the quality of paper they were making. If it were, for example, newsprint for the Independent and the Irish Press, the Cork Examiner, Leinster Leader, that was kind of a bulk. Newsprint was a kind of a bulky product, and that would roll off pretty quickly off the machine. So you had to have your fleet of trucks there available to load it up as it came off, into town, back out again, reload. And, of course, some of the newspapers had their own warehouses down the docks where we stored paper for them as well.
Right. And so, of course, the printed paper, that was your really big... customer, wasn't it? The news, the Irish Times, the Independent.
Oh, yes. They were for the newsprint, but I mean, we'd only have a run of newsprint about once a month, I think, we made newsprint.
What about the Cork Examiner?
Oh, yes. Oh, we sent it to Cork Examiner as well, of course. We did. I forgot that. we sent it to newspapers all over the country, all provincial papers as well as the
Oh, did you?
Oh, we did. Oh, we
so
did, yeah.
When I picked up a newspaper in the 70s and...
It was printed on Clondalkin paper.
Really?
It was, yeah. No, I know some of the... There were times, perhaps, when we couldn't cope with the volume of newsprint because I think the profit newsprint wasn't very great. But there were times then when the Independent, the Press and the Times, those would import some of their newsprint. But I think we were the main suppliers of what they had.
Mm-hmm. And so getting the raw material in that was, it was nothing that you actually saw happening. You only just watched it going back out again, I think.
Yeah, no, I had no involvement in the, yeah. very little anyway, in the importation or the haulage of the pulp and the chemicals. Yeah. That was a separate department. And you see, the pulp came in huge shiploads into Dublin docks. And I'm not quite sure who hauled that, but there were people of age who did haul that in. There were specialists, I think, who hauled that in. But no, I had no involvement in that end of it.
And what year did you get married?
74.
74, yes.
74. Yeah. Mary, did you retire then or did you stay on?
Oh, I stayed on, yes. I stayed at the bitter end and was heartbroken like when it all came to an end.
And was it difficult, having, say, your wife there working with you as the boss's secretary, was there any difficulty?
No, not really, no. I mean, before we got married, anyway, Mary worked up in the with the boss, as it were, and that was in the office. Yeah, the yes, office. And the people in the paper mill, well, I think we didn't communicate all that much with them. It was a little bit of... Oh, I can't think of the word. What I'm saying really is the people working in the actual paper mill, bear in mind there were two separate lots. You had the office block across the Nanga Road and you had the paper mill where the work was done on the other side of the Nanga Road. So there was a natural divide between the office people and the people in the paper mill. So I was a worker in the paper mill. But how did I... It didn't cause any problem with her, not at all, no.
And Mary, how did you meet?
We met at Harry Lambert's retirement party in what was the hotel? The Ambassador Hotel, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's the Ambassador Hotel.
Yes. And he said to me, "What's a lovely girl like you, still single?" So I knew what he had in his mind. So it started there, and we were married a year later, and that was 40 years ago. So we hung out together. We came to live in Naas then, and a lot of Clondalkin people did move out to Naas and around and about. And, I meet them occasionally, and it's lovely to keep in touch.
You must talk to me about your 20 years there. I'm fascinated by it because you were as close as anybody could get to Dr. Cusick. So the office, just describe the office to me.
Well, there were quite big offices by today's standards. They were lovely offices, modern for their day. He had a very big corner site for himself. And then he had the outside office, which would have been as big as this room for the secretary. And, people would tap on the door before they'd come in, and you'd announce them, that sort of thing. I mean, it's like Miss Money Penny or somebody. That job is long gone, but it suited me at the time. I liked the people. He was a gentleman of the old school. Very polite, very clever. He was clever. He was a great historian and he was terrific at English. And he had a mathematical brain. And I think some people who are good at maths are not good at English or history, but he had the two of them together. He could write great letters. And I'd try and keep up with him, But I learned a lot from him. His English was terrific, his words, everything. He was a clever man in every way. And very polite, particularly to ladies. He always said, my mother taught me always to be polite to women.
His background,
Funny enough, he's from Kildare.
Yes.
And I think his father was a school teacher in Timahoe. And his sister who worked there, Una Cusack, she was a chemist in charge of the laboratory. But his background was a country, a Kildare man. The father was a school teacher and very clever too. And he had told me the father, for extra money, when money was small, would write speeches for the local TDs in Kildare. That would be maybe the 20s and 30s.
Yes.
But from all accounts, he was a clever man, but he died young. And his mother lived, his mother must have been in his, her 80s. Or, you know, she lived a long life, Dr. Cusack's mother. But they were clever people. So
Was he totally devoted to his work? Did he, bring his work home with him, do you know?
Oh, I'd say totally. He was totally immersed in Clondalkin paper mills. But he was also a marvellous husband. But he married a lovely woman. She was behind him in everything he did. She was a pretty woman, Nora Cusack. She was lovely, gentle, a home woman. But he always said to me, he said, I was so lucky in the woman I married.
What was her maiden name and where was she from?
She was Nora, but I don't know really much about her other than that. Her name was Nora. But he was very happily married with five children.
And did they work? How many of his children came into the business, do you know?
Well, as students, really, but other than that, they didn't. We didn't see them at all, but as students. Maybe Anne did in later life.
Yeah,
she, oh, yes, she was an accountant, Anne. But that's it, they didn't really.
And did Christopher, did he talk about his business much to you? You know, would he discuss if there was a problem or if there was,
Well, maybe he'd tell me about it or just the gist of it, but I wouldn't maybe understand the technical things, you know, nor would I be really interested. I'd just type my letters and answer the phone and meet the people and that.
Oh, where were those letters going? When you say type, like you said, he would dictate to you what he wanted written.
That's right, business letters, you know. To the business people and connections with Clondalkin and that. Nothing personal, really. It'd be all business.
Yeah, and so you were there probably for the takeover of many of the businesses.
Yes. Swiftbrook and Bailey Gibson.
Yeah.
At those in the 70s.
Oh,
and Drimna Paper Mills.
Yeah,
but very interesting. And it was a lovely job. Sure, I wouldn't have stayed all that long if I hadn't liked it, you know. Or the people, I think, made it. Isn't that right, Tommy? The people made it.
They did, yeah.
Mm.
Great teamwork.
That's right.
And did you find, though, that there must have been great excitement, great buzz when, you know, when a company was taken over and brought into the...
Oh, yes, that's right, it was, because we all felt, naturally, we were all, the company was doing well, and it gives it, like, all boats lift with rising tide, that we were all delighted, you know, we all felt the company was doing well, and we'd all do well with it. And some of the people then from Swiftbrook came down, were brought in, assimilated into the paper mills from the other places that they took over.
Did they make a difference? Did they hinder the...
No, they fitted in very well. And then they had the knowledge of the paper mills. So they fitted in very well, I thought.